Thank you. I now invite Curtis Coldscraw to come and give his presentation. Curtis is the CAP rapporteur on the Working Group on Emissions and Technical Issues.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Purpose of this presentation is to provide some information on development that's underway concerning an aircraft carbon dioxide emission standard within CAPE, and that work has been assigned to CAPE's Working Group 3, which is the Emissions Technical Working Group. And as was just stated, I'm one of the co-rapporteurs along with Dave Lister from the UK, who's also working with me, as well as under Working Group 3, there is a CO2 emissions standards task group that is co-led by Steve Arrowsmith from EASA and Matt Spears from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. So while the other three could not make it today, I was able to come to this meeting and provide you with this status. So as an overview, I'll give you the current status. I'll provide some highlights of a scoping analysis that was conducted by Working Group 3 during the CAPE 8 cycle, and then wrap it up with some conclusions. The current status is that we did conduct a scoping analysis during the CAPE 8 cycle. We felt that this was necessary to inform the decisions and the discussion at the CAPE 8 meeting, which was held in February. We understood that they'd be taking a decision on whether or not to include this item in the work program, and we wanted to conduct the analysis so that they understood the breadth of the work that would be required to be completed in order for this task to be taken forward and for a standard to be considered at a future CAPE meeting. There was agreement on the future work content. I'll go over that in just a couple of seconds. And a priority was placed on this work as being a high-level priority within the schedule for the CAPE 9 work, and I'll go over that a little later in the presentation. While this is the highest priority, it's not the only priority on the work program, and there are some competing resources. I don't expect you to read this this fine print here, but the key points of the future work are as follows. That the Working Group 3 is expected to deliver a certification requirement associated with this CO2 emission standard by the second steering group of the CAPE 9 cycle. So that would be later in 2011. And then by the CAPE 9 meeting, which is expected to occur in February of 2013, to have laid out the stringency proposals, including technology response, regulatory levels, and applicability associated with the CO2 emission standard for aircraft. This would be the critical inputs that would be needed to then go ahead and conduct a cost-effectiveness analysis to inform a future decision by CAPE on adopting this standard. But there still is an aim for all of the work to be completed by the year 2013. So by the end of 2013, to have established what this aircraft CO2 emission standard is. The main reason why all of this work wasn't laid out to be completed by the CAPE 9 meeting, it all comes down to the amount of work that needs to be done, the limited resources, still some competing task for resources, and CAPE did acknowledge the breadth of the work based on the scoping analysis and agreed that this would be the work program. So during this scoping analysis that was conducted at the CAPE 8 cycle, first of all, as far as background goes, this was a new work item that had arose out of response to the GIAC, the GIAC's Program of Action related to aviation and climate change. They had requested that CAPE look into developing a CO2 standard. So as I said, we agreed to take on this, developing the scope of work. We informed CAPE 8 on this issue. There was a specific working paper 20, and information paper 21 to the CAPE 8 meeting. And we took that forward, and it was discussed during the meeting, and as I said, the work program was agreed. So a little more detail on the scoping analysis. Well, first of all, in order to be transparent and provide the best understanding we can in terms of what we're working on, although this is referred to as a CO2 standard, it's really based on fuel efficiency concepts and will be handled within a certification requirement metric. And I'll go over that in a little more detail. This work is aimed at contributing to efforts to reduce aviation's impact on climate change. And this was an important clarification that needed to be made, that ultimately we're looking at a fuel efficiency concept here. The work that we're undertaking is not taking into account alternative fuels, primarily because we won't be considering a full life cycle analysis. So that's not included in this scope of work. And if future alternative fuels are developed with significant differences to the current kerosene, then this would have to be looked at in the future. So in reviewing the different aspects of the work, I've listed them here. The CO2 ad hoc group looked at all of these items during the scoping analysis. Of course, had to look back at what CAPE has done historically, look at what the terminology and the high-level objectives of the work would be, scoping out the requirements. We have to develop a metric. Once we have a metric, we have a certification procedure that needs to be developed. There are a variety of options for doing that. Of course, what's the applicability for the standard? I'll go into that in a little more detail. Will this require any new measurement of the emissions? If so, what would that instrumentation look like, and what would be the measurement methodology? And then ultimately to try to define what a regulatory level would be and how aircraft manufacturers would comply with that. And of course, we have time scale and resource issues to deal with. So we looked at the historic CAPE work in this area, specifically, the original creation of the ICAO Annex 16 Volume 2 emission requirements and standards. There was some previous work during the CAPE 5 cycle on CO2 certification standard review. We looked at trying to develop an aircraft fuel efficiency parameter during the CAPE 6 cycle. There was some work by the European Commission on the NEPAIR program, which was completed in the year 2000. This was a new emissions parameter that covered the whole aircraft versus just the engine, as the current emission standards are. And then more recently, looking at alternative NOx emissions methodology, taking into account emissions over the whole flight. So there was some historic work that we could use to build upon. One of the things we had to do is go back and define the terminology, and we made this clear during the CAPE 8 meeting so that people understood that, what constituted a parameter, how the parameters are used to define a metric, what the procedures entail. For example, ICAO Annex 16 Volume 2 procedures listed in the current Chapter 2. Instrumentation and measurement methodology, for example, what's specified in Appendix 3 of ICAO Annex 16 Volume 2 right now. A certified level, this is a level that's demonstrated by the applicant during the certification process. There's a regulatory level that's associated with the standard. That's what you compare the certified level to in order to judge whether or not they have demonstrated compliance. The certification requirement, which we're trying to develop by the steering group meeting in 2011, which is a combination of the metric, the certification procedures, any instrumentation or measurement methodology that needs to be included, and the compliance requirements. And a standard ultimately is a combination of the certification requirement and that regulatory level. So these were the high-level objectives that we specified to the members of the CAPE during the 8th meeting to provide an additional incentive to improve aircraft fuel efficiency and thus global fleet fuel burn performance. We've already heard earlier about the work that the aircraft and engine manufacturers already do to improve their products. This should provide an additional incentive. The objective is to look at the fuel burn performance and relative capabilities. This would be range, payload, size, speed across all the different aircraft types. Ensure it's technically robust with an acceptable level of accuracy and represent key aircraft design characteristics and environmental performance with respect to individual design philosophies. And I hope you would agree, these are four very, very important objectives. But that's not all. We have all these other high-level objectives, some of which are equally, if not more, demanding than the ones on the previous page, such as looking at something that's equitable across all the products and manufacturers, and a requirement that still allows flexibility in aircraft design in order to comply with such a requirement. Coming up with a standard that minimizes counterproductive incentives and adverse interdependencies. We don't want to produce a standard that is going to result in something like increasing noise substantially or increasing gaseous emissions substantially. We'd like to base this on existing certified data so that we know that the underlying data is the best available. We have to account for the nature of proprietary data being brought into this process. We want to make sure that whatever we come up with can be easily implemented within the certification framework of the national authorities amongst the ICAO member states. It needs to be simple, transparent, and easily understood, and we need to do it as quickly as possible. Simple, right? Really far from it. This is a complex task, and to complete such a thing over 3 years, when you look back at how standards are typically developed historically, this is unprecedented to be able to accomplish something like this within a three-year time frame. Within the scoping analysis, we need to look at, well, what is this standard going to cover? What are the aircraft, different aircraft types and categories that will be covered by at least the initial standard? Okay, and we need to try to prioritize what that coverage is in order to deliver the product within by CAPE 9 or within that 2013 timeframe. And, you know, within that prioritization, we may have to take this in different stages or phases, okay? Maybe we don't capture everything at once in this first initial standard, but we set up a framework that can be easily adapted to others. That's the idea. On the metric side, this is very critical, and something that the CO2 task group is already struggling with. We've had one meeting with about 70 participants. We've had a couple telephone calls on this, and we plan to meet again the first week in June to further this work. So I think there are a lot of resources being put to this, but the metric is a key issue that needs to be addressed. And just to list a few items here that we're struggling with to try to get this task moving so that the evaluation phases can continue. Certification procedures, we need to look at what the different aircraft design and performance characteristics are and how we can use that metric and adapt it to and develop it into the certification requirement. Of course, kerosene-type fuel specification needs to be part of the certification requirement in order to remove any fuel burn performance variations, and we already have a fuel specification within Annex 16 Volume 2. That's in Appendix 4, which we're going to be looking at to adopt as part of this standard eventually. Applicability is a big issue. There was a lot of discussion at the CAPE meeting about this. What will this standard apply to? Will it apply only to new aircraft types, that is, new aircraft certifications, or will it capture currently produced engines, those that have already been certified previously? And the question still remains, to what extent, if any, this new standard might be applied to in-service aircraft. We hope to bring some information to the first steering group of CAPE to maybe allow some guidance to be provided in this area. Instrumentation and measurement methodology, well, you know, this could be simple. It could be use the data that you already capture during the existing gaseous emissions certification requirements. That is, the data you already capture for fuel burn and for conducting the carbon balance analysis that you already conduct under the certification process. I don't think there are too many people that believe we need to make new measurements, especially new in-flight measurements. That hasn't been put on the table, as I understand, but this is still an area that the task group needs to look at and make sure that the methodology, at least, even if it's using existing data or data that's currently captured within the certification process, that is properly defined and described in the requirement. And if we need to consult with our external experts, such as those we've done in the past, you know, the SAE or ASTM or other external organizations, then we believe we have the linkages set up to bring those people in fairly quickly. Regulatory level, we think the current framework that EBAD just discussed allows flexibility in agreeing on what the initial CO2 standard should be. The standards, the stringency of the standard will eventually have to be looked at, and within the typical CAPE analysis process, a cost effectiveness analysis will need to be conducted on a variety of stringency levels. So ultimately some decision will have to be made, and maybe the more stringent levels will be looked at from the standpoint of a goal-setting exercise rather than a standard-setting exercise. But that's just an idea that needs to be further explored. Yes. And, we're looking at trying to do as much of this work in parallel as possible, but until we get some of this baseline work conducted and agreed, especially on the metric, that's a little bit hard to do. Manufacturing compliance, you know, there are a variety of options that are going to have to be looked at. The standard process of handling compliance during the type certification process, that's an option. There's another option that's been put on the table. It would need more debate and discussion, and that is giving more flexibility to the manufacturer to comply via a corporate averaging process that allows them to average their efficiency, if you will, over a range of products that they produce. But all of these need to be looked at, and the pros and cons need to be balanced. The timescales to develop a standard, it's dependent on member states bringing forth the resources to do this work. It's a short time frame. There are a lot of work to do. We have a lot of attendees at the meeting. We need more participation. And we're setting out some interim milestones and target completion dates to try to spur the work along. And prioritization at this point is not an issue. We have a schedule that we're working to, and we believe CO2 is the highest priority. But as we get farther into the CAPE cycle and resources start to get diverted to other activities, as I'll briefly describe here, there may be some resource issues. But it needs to be the highest priority in order for Working Group 3 to continue to work this. Now, on the high-level schedule, I'll just mention a couple things, because there are some potential competing items here. What we've identified here on the top row, on the top part of this chart, along with the time frame of where these steering group meetings are going to fit, where we think the CO2 cost-effectiveness analysis will begin, even if it's just a sample problem or a sample analysis until we get to the final product. But we also have some noise stringency work that CAPE has agreed on the work program. And at the very bottom of this chart, where the Working Group 3 Emissions Working Group is working on a particulate matter certification requirement. This would be a certification requirement related to particulate matter emissions for aircraft engines. So while CO2 is the highest priority, we still have other tasks here that the whole CAPE is looking at, and it's not hard to imagine that we might end up with some conflicts if things start to back up towards the end of the cycle. So in conclusion, we have on the schedule here to deliver a robust standard. That's the objective. There are many, many objectives associated with this. It needs to remain the high-level priority. We believe it has right now. We need all the member states and observer organizations to bring as many resources to bear as possible to look at the technical aspects of the work. And we're using the scoping analysis conducted during a CAPE 8 cycle and the CAPE 8 summary of discussions as our guide, and we'll be looking to the steering group of CAPE to guide us along, including this meeting coming up later this year. So that's all I had.